Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond!
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There is no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, that overture means it's time to meet television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes, who's battled through the tractors to be with us.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Bill, and welcome. This is the movie.
You thought I was fooling around, didn't you? Tell me the truth. I ain't going to fool around. That's in your mind.
Yes, yeah, so what?
That championship belt on me. That's not that fool around. Is it done?
No, it's not
done. Don't overcook it. You overcook it, it's no good. It defeats its own purpose. What are you doing? I just said don't overcook it. You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
You want your steak?
Bring it over. Bring it over. It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
You want your steak?
Yeah, right now.
Good. Here's your steak. Can't wait for it to be done.
No, yeah. I can't wait.
Good. Okay, happy, happy.
That's all I want.
Here,
no more.
There.
Find me a pot of steak, huh?
Domestic Bliss, in Raging Bull, the movie. Bill, this movie is a biopic, I suppose.
It is. From 1980. Robert De Niro was on the set of Godfather 2 in the 70s and he read the autobiography by Jake LaMotta and he thought, wow, this is going to make the most amazing film. So he immediately hightailed it to see his friend Martin Scorsese, who was on the set of Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore with Ellen Burstyn. And he said to Scorsese, come on, this is the movie. And Scorsese said, but you know I hate sport. And his actual quote was, anything with a ball, no good. So he said, and particularly boxing, that's just savage. There's no point. It's boring. I hate it. And De Niro,
this was before Rocky, of course.
Yeah, but still Scorsese was like, no, I don't, you know. Now, at the time, Scorsese was in the throes of an addiction to cocaine. And he really was having a bad time. And the next thing, he overdosed. And De Niro had been on to him a fair few times. And they'd already had huge success with Taxi Driver together in Mean Streets. You know, they'd already forged this cinematic pairing that was celebrated all around the world. And so he thought he was bringing something wonderful to Scorsese. And he really had to battle it. And as far as he was concerned, Scorsese wasn't hearing him because he was off his head on coke. So he got him into rehab and he got him turned around. Scorsese also was worried because the last time he'd had an outing with De Niro was New York, New York with Liza Minnelli. And it had been a massive turkey and they'd lost a fortune. The studio had lost a fortune. Everybody was like, so he thought, no, our career together is over. Like we can't work together again. It's going to be a disaster. But eventually De Niro prevailed and he got Robert Chartoff and Irwin Winkler, the two biggest producers in Hollywood at the time. And he got them to back him. And they said, well, we will help you make this movie if Scorsese comes on board. So because De Niro got him off the cocaine, got him into rehab, Scorsese relented and said, OK, they do.
He owed him one, basically.
And so they commissioned Mardik Martin to do the script. The first script came. De Niro hated it. It, you know, wasn't doing anything. So they brought in Paul Schrader, who had written the script for Taxi Driver. And they liked that a bit better, but they still thought they could do better themselves. So the two of them hightailed it off to St. Martin in the Caribbean, booked themselves into a hotel and stayed in the room for 3 weeks.
And wrote the script.
And then Mardik and Schrader got the screen credit as writers because De Niro and Scorsese weren't in the Writers Guild. So, and then the lads got an Oscar nod for it. They got an Oscar
even
nomination.
Even though they did none of the work. No,
they did
the
outlines
bones.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's quite a funny tale. But then, you know, they started to cast. And De Niro had seen this, a little movie that hadn't done anything, a little indie movie. And he had seen a guy in it. And he went to trace the guy he wanted him. And it turned out the guy hadn't worked as an actor for 4 years and was running a restaurant in New Jersey. And the guy was Joe Pesci.
My goodness.
And they brought Joe Pesci
on board. So that relaunched Joe's career.
Completely. And then it was Joe Pesci who brought Kathy Moriarty, who played the young Vicky, into the whole sort of scenario. Now, the thing is, these days, Pat, there's no way this film would be made. Because effectively, it's glorifying a man who groomed and pursued a 15-year-old girl while he was a married man. And the 15-year-old girl, Vicky, who he eventually married when she was 19. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stop the evil that was being perpetrated, because he had a horrible personality. He ate voraciously. As you heard, he fought for it. Everything was a fight with him. And he was just a bit of a pig. And how you could go to the cinema and watch a thing like that, and that is testament to the talent of De Niro and Scorsese, that they could take such a horrible, unlikable person and make such a stunning film.
Now, he was a hugely talented young boxer, but
yeah,
this takes us through the later stages in his career when he'd gone to seed.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a very interesting aspect to making the film.
Yeah, the first 5 weeks they shot the film with De Niro as the slim young boxer and the whole thing. And then they shut down the set after 5 weeks. And De Niro ate his way around northern Italy and France. And he went from 66 kilos to 97 kilos.
Wow.
He added another 50% to his body weight, his body mass, and came back to shoot the scenes of Jake LaMotta's later life as a completely, you know, over bloated person. These days,
they'd put a fat suit on.
They'd do great prosthetics. But he actually went through that, and it started to take its toll on his health. And they had to hurry up the 8 weeks of filming to try and get through it, because
then he could lose weight.
Well,
again,
his breathing was going, and his speech, he couldn't be understood. The guy, he was just ruined from all the eating that he had done. And so he then turned to being a nightclub person and a stand-up and doing all sorts of stuff. And he was really crude, but he was falling apart in front of your eyes. And the story is told so magnificently, because the decision was made early on, this is going to be in black and white, because there's going to be so much blood that it's going to put people off. And it's not just going to be black and white, we're going to make it operatic. So Cavalleria Rusticana, the soundtrack, that beautiful music, Mascagni's Easter hymn and everything is used. Just beautiful music. And so then he comes out as this crude, old, fat, old, middle-aged, nasty guy with the microphone. And we have another clip.
By the way, me and my wife Vicky's going to celebrate, it's a little different, our 11th wedding anniversary. Thank you. I reminds me about two friends of mine. Hey, one was married, one was single. The married guy tells a single guy, oh, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Look at me. And look at you. And look at me. And look at you. Now, let me get out. When I come home at night, my wife's at the door with a tall drink in her hand. Then she gives me a nice hot bed. Then she gives me a nice rub down. Then she makes passionate love to me. And then she makes me a nice dinner. What more could you ask for? You ought to try that. The other friend says, hey, that sounds great. When's your wife get home?
Some of the old guys.
The old guy, ba-boom. Yeah, you're just waiting for the ba-boom. But when the film came out, it polarized the critics. And those who loved it completely became obsessed with it. And those who were sort of indifferent to it. But then the Oscar nominations came out and it got nominated for 8, which was a big surprise to everybody. Mm-hmm. But everybody was expecting that De Niro would take Best Actor because of what he had put himself through, yeah, and because of the performance. And so it did win Best Actor, and it won Best Editing because of the boxing sequences, which were up to, at that stage, they were state of the art, the way this was done. And
because later with Rocky, they had Steadicam available to them in the ring and all of that.
Yeah.
And it changed the way boxing could be shot.
Absolutely. But in this instance, they were still very much caught up in the way, you know, it's been done.
Did it have a new lease of life then at the box office, or what happened?
Well, not at the box office. It became a TV favourite. It found its way into the video market, and then it found its way into the DVD market. And when they decided, the film registry in America decided that they were going to start denoting films as being of particular merit, aesthetic significance, and that they would start putting them into this file, the first one they put in was Raging Bull. That was the very My first goodness. That they decided. So it has become now regarded as one of the great classics of cinema.
Speaking of classics, a text from Johnny in Leitrim for Bill. I saw The Irishman last night. Absolutely brilliant. 3 hours long plus, but worth it. It is just class. Go see. Have you gone?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it yet. Everybody's telling me. My business partner, Bernadine, went at the weekend and she came in raving about it. She says, it's just sensational.
Okay, so that'll go into the archive as
into
well.
Into the archive as well. Into the famous archive, yeah.
But it's the guys back together again?
It is, yeah. They keep, and this time added in Pacino, yeah. You know, so yeah. It's a good combination.
Anyway, a recommendation from Bill Hughes. You can find Raging Bull easily
Oh, it's
enough.
Everywhere. Yeah. You'll find it. You'll find it between YouTube and you'll just find, just look, it's there.
Okay. Bill Hughes, a television producer with Mind the Gap Films. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.